welcome back into another episode of Cult Film Cafe Does Christmas. It is, of course, me, Jonathan, one of your hosts. And as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime, Kenzie McLean.
Hello there.
So on this episode, we will be taking a look at 2016's Christmas comedy, Office Christmas Party, directed by Will Speck and Josh Gordon.
Oh, pardon me.
It's Christmas. We should celebrate, they said. Just a little get-together for the employees. Have a few drinks. Blow off a little steam. Nothing crazy.
Merry Christmas, Jeremy.
Great night, huh?
This is a sample cheese board for a holiday mixer tonight.
I'm sorry, you're having a Christmas party tonight? It's not happening.
All right, it's canceled.
Hey, idiot, I'm looking right at you.
I'm telling you, the thing is not happening at all.
I'm not messing with you. Hey, stop doing that, all right?
If you are going to have intercourse tonight, please do not do it on company property. Go into the Rite Aid parking lot.
We're talking Rite Aid, baby, make it all night. Flip, flip, flip!
Oh, pardon me.
Hey, Santa! Want a party?
I love this company!
I think he meant to swing there.
Yeah, this one is probably a bit different to previous episodes that have gone before it. I think a lot of these Christmas films will be catered more to the kids' side of things, whereas this is purely an adult film, I would say. Well, it is. I mean, I don't know why I would just say that, but it definitely is.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where I was going with that.
I don't think any kids. I don't think there's any part of this that's really aimed at children.
Well, I hope not. No, this is firmly an adult-only Christmas film. But yeah, it's another one of these mad ensemble kind of films, you know, like New Year's Eve or Valentine's Day or... There's loads of them that I can't remember off the top of my head right now, but you know what I mean. Can you think of any others?
What do you really mean by that, though? Wait, I'm kind of confused. Like, ensemble, like, as in... Well, just like a...
An ensemble cast, though?
Yeah, I don't know. Ensemble cast, like, it's a lot of like, big actors and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, so a lot of the films that I've named are in the same vein. There's a lot of these films that have... that we kind of became known for being sort of formulated around a specific... day, I suppose.
Oh, so ensemble, like a Christmas film or whatnot.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Valentine's Day was sort of one of them, I would say.
Right.
I don't know. It's maybe weird just to say that. And New Year's Eve, you heard of that film?
I haven't. Maybe. Wait, or have I? The name sounds slightly familiar, but that's because it's New Year's Eve, and that happens every year, so I think I've heard of it though. Maybe
it came out in like 2011, and it had like Halle Berry, Jessica Biel, Bon Jovi, Abigail Breslin, Ludacris, Robert De Niro, Josh Duhamel, Zac Efron, Katherine Heigl, Ashton Kutcher, Seth Meyers, Leah Michelle, Sarah Jessica Parker, Sarah Paulson, Michelle Pfeiffer, Hilary Swank, Sophia Vergara. Vergara, I've ruined her name.
Yeah,
you get what I mean?
I get what you mean, but okay, I don't think I've actually ever heard of that film.
So you had Valentine's Day in 2010 and also Mother's Day in 2016. There's just a few of these films that kind of, when I seen this Office Christmas Party when it came out, as like it kind of reminded me of those. It's probably a lot different in terms of it's not a romantic comedy by any means. It's just a comedy, and quite an outrageous comedy at that, to say the least. So yeah, is this a first time watch?
Yeah, I was excited for this one. I quite like Jason Bateman films, even though a lot of them don't get rated that highly. I usually quite like them. I'm a bit of a fan of Big Bateman, and the rest of the cast look pretty decent as well. So yeah, I was excited for this one. So this is a first watch.
Yeah, I mean it's quite strange. I don't know how many of these are going to be first watches for me. I know that there's at least one. There's probably some more. In fact, I know there's at least two now off the top of my head. You, not so sure. I think a lot of the big hitters you'll have seen, some of the more obscure ones, because there is some more obscure films coming up. We haven't just went, you know what's the objectively the 25 best Christmas films ever and just done that list. We've tried to maybe pluck kind of ones that people might not have seen, or the general population might not have seen or might not know of. That's not really going to happen probably with Christmas films, but if it does, then good. We like to talk about ones that are slightly off the beaten track. But yeah, let's dive into it then. Office Christmas Party. It kind of does exactly what it says on the tin.
Pretty much.
In a roundabout way. It is a film about an office Christmas party. I feel as though it is just one day as well.
I think it may be two.
Is it two?
I think it may be two. Or maybe it's what? Oh, no, maybe it is just one. Oh, it's so far. I think it is just one, actually. No, I think you're right. No, yeah, I think that is one, I think.
No, it is two.
It is two?
It is two. Because Jennifer Aniston's character goes to Jason Bateman's apartment at night.
Oh, yeah.
To offer him a job at her branch of Xenon, was it Xenotech?
Something
Xenotech,
like that, yeah.
Xenotech, the company, the fictional company which is in the film. So, yeah, I think it's 2 days now coming to my head. But I think that's all it is, though.
How do you feel about this film?
I don't think it's all that good.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel.
It's just off the bat. It's not great. I think some of the stuff in it is a bit OTT as well.
Over
the
top.
Like, it's just fucking strange, man. I don't know. It's obviously this is an office Christmas party setup. But it's obviously dialed to 11. Spinal Tap reference for anybody who doesn't get that. But some people will. So it's just dialed up that extra notch, which I really don't think actually happens at a lot of these things. Maybe it does, and maybe I should be a fly in the wall at some of these big... what do you think about it? So look at the Office Christmas Party that's happening in Die Hard compared to this.
This is a different film, I guess. That's true. I don't like the film's
realistic. Do you know what I mean? No, it's just like, I don't necessarily think it's accurate.
Crazy.
Right, what I'll say is I don't think it's an accurate portrayal of office Christmas parties.
I don't think it ever went for that, though, to be honest. I think it was always going to be like, oh, yeah, T.G. Miller throws the best. Well, I can't remember the actual character's name. They'd always throw great parties every year. Like, oh, this is the one. And then, yeah, everyone starts just going fucking insane because they all think they're going to lose their jobs, I think, and... Yeah, they pretty much absolutely destroy the building, pretty much.
T.G. Miller plays a character called Clay Vanstone.
Clay, that's it. Yeah, I just don't think the film is very funny. I don't like the humour that much. It's not... It's kind of... The film's not terrible. It's just kind of...
I think it's weird because, they're trying to weave some like storylines within the narrative,
yeah,
which don't quite hit. Like, it's quite strange for for a comedy film, they've got some serious sort of storylines, which I don't necessarily think will work.
There's got too many. It's like following all the different, some of the characters you really don't care about, like that guy with the glasses who hires the prostitute. Like, I don't care about him. I know they mainly just gave him screen time, so at the end they have a thing to do, but it's just, yeah, no, the film isn't great. There's like a lot of most of the humor misses. I'm making it sound like really bad. I don't think it's like terrible. I think honestly this one's kind of middle of the barrel, or maybe even slight bit better, or maybe a slight, I don't even know. But most of the humor misses. Like a prime example for me is the part when Jason Bateman has to drink the eggnog from the ice sculpture's dick. that's not funny. It's just weird. He starts fucking deep throats the thing for like no reason. And there was no need for him to shove his whole. There was no reason whatsoever for him to gobble that entire thing. He literally shoved it to the back of his throat. Like, what was he doing?
This is, ladies and gentlemen, just want to point a reference. This is coming from a man who literally deep throated his microphone in a Discord call about 4 nights ago.
Well, I tried anyway.
Did you know?
I didn't quite succeed, but
because it was too girthy.
It was too girthy. That was the issue. I mean, I tried. That's a good try. Like, I kind of got my mouth around the bottom, but yeah.
What the fuck?
Just odd things that happen. Then again, in Discord calls that. You know,
also, fun fact, I might post this picture on the Instagram of Kenzie in a state of, should I say, maybe he's taking one too many shots from the eggnog.
Yeah, picture me trying to use the same thing and kind of messing up a little bit. It kind of spills a bit and then get a picture taken. That's pretty much what it would look like. Yeah.
Oh, he got caught being an idiot.
Covered in the eggnog.
His own fault. He got covered in. We might share that with mine. That's Kenzie's discretion. I won't do it without his permission. But it might be quite funny. put it out there in the world of social media.
So stuff like that. Like some of the humour is quite crass and crude and just. I don't mind crude humor and stuff like that, but it's not to the point where you're just going like a bit OTT. It's not very funny. It's just kind of, you're just kind of being. I'm trying to get other words for it, but you know, it's just this kind of like over the top kind of. Okay, it's just a lot of like crap. Just kind of crass humor. It's not that funny. That's a lot of films are like this. The humor is not particularly dark. It's not really particularly. It's just kind of like there's a part of it where you see a guy 3D print his dick, but it has no part. It's just a random part of the film, and then it never gets brought up again. It's just a random character who does it. It's not even a main character or anything. You just see a guy stick his dick into the 3D printer machine. You actually get to see it and everything. It's a rather odd. That's it. It never comes back. It's just like, okay, that happened. It's just stuff like that in the film. I feel like the actors were probably having a good time. It seems like they were having a good time. Seems like that type of film. But
I think, there's some parts in this film that make me go, I mean, this was released in 2016, so. Do you know, would they get away with some of the stuff in this film now? I'm not quite sure.
I don't think it's that, but I think so. Well, I don't think it's that.
No, like some of the jokes then were like, so see at the end of the film when they come back to the wrecked building and there's just a guy, this is one of the stupid things where he's just sat in the photocopy machine taking pictures, like photocopies of his ass, but he's fell asleep. That's fine, it's just stupid. What? The angle or the part of the narrative that I think is a bit scary, and it probably does happen, is the two sort of nerdy guys.
Oh, the hacker ones.
The hackers who have hacked people's Facebooks to get them to sleep with them.
Yeah.
After the past few years that we've had, I really don't think that flies now. And it's a bit seedy and a bit horrible and doesn't happen.
That's fair.
Quite possibly does happen. I don't want to neither confirm or deny because I'm not somebody in this industry or that knows that or a lawyer that, I mean, would know. But yeah, I mean, we all know what goes on in the evil and fantastic world that is the internet. If you use it for evil, you can succeed at being evil. If you use it for wonderful things, you hopefully get what you deserve out of life. But yeah, I felt a bit weird having that part in the film. And it was just glossed over as well. And I was like, wait a minute, is that acceptable? Is that good?
It's stuff like that. I still think humor like that will still be in films today. Honestly, it depends. It wasn't a very funny joke. It was just nothing. Most jokes in this film, it just wasn't very funny. It was just kind of there, and it was like, okay, these guys are not meant to be very nice. Okay, cool. It depends on like what type of film it's in. And this film's not taking itself seriously. Anyways, maybe some people would find that not great. Maybe people would shun from that now, but it wasn't a very good joke anyway. So it's just like, yeah. Maybe you're right about that, but I don't know.
That's just my opinion. Maybe my opinion will be different to other people's, and that's fair. I just don't think humour like that should really have a place.
Dark humour is a thing. It's just
dark humour is a thing, but I think that, I mean, there's a time and a place for it, I suppose. I mean, if the film is doing a satirical take on that side of the internet, then fair, you know, if it was going whole in that way. For it just to pop up in this film, don't really think it should have been here, to be perfectly honest with you. Made them out to be dicks, and I mean, maybe they are, and yeah, it felt just out of place, and I suppose it didn't really quite hit as a joke, so maybe they should have cut it. I don't know. I wasn't in the script writing process or making this film. It's just an opinion of mine. It's just one of those things where it's just one of the takeaways that kind of stuck out to me, specifically when we were talking about things like this and parts of the film which were a bit trash or a bit too crass for crass sake. Let's jump away from the depressing topic that is hacking and back onto the film. But yeah, it's quite a difficult one. We've been talking about, it's really quite weird. They're trying to weave like weird storylines. You've got Jason Bateman's character and Olivia Munn's character, who they seem like they've got a thing. I should just say that Jason Bateman's character at the start of the film is finalising a divorce from his obviously wife.
It was weird.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. But then so you've got that thing, you've got T.J. Miller, who's playing Clay, who's the kind of, I mean, the boss that anybody would probably want to work for. He seems really genuine, wants to treat his employees nice. And then you get a stark contrast by that of Carol, who's played, his sister, played by Jennifer Aniston. As soon as she turns up, she's all business, no play, and basically hits Clay with the bad news that, you know, she's pretty much going to shut his branch down, or at least cut 40% of the workforce as a minimum, because they haven't been performing to the standards that she's set, which, to be honest with you, sound like standards which aren't really fair, considering they are growing. It's not like they're losing money, or they're not in a positive growth, because they were. I just think she's power hungry now that their dad died and she's been made acting CEO or interim CEO. It's not quite been finalised yet. So yeah, It's she wants to cut a lot of the money, make sure that they're on track by cutting labour, wants to cancel the Christmas party, stuff like that. Basically, the buzzkill of the film. But yeah. But they have one final play to try and keep the business afloat, and that's by trying to seal the deal with one of these sort of big financial companies, which is Walter Davis. That's kind of strange. That's kind of a strange arc as well, because they go and have a meeting with him. He's all business, finds out that they're shutting branches and doesn't really like the way that the company's handling their staff. But then eventually comes back to the party that Clay puts back on, even though his sister told them not to. And it seems to be enough to seal the deal at the end of the day for that contract. But that's just that one story arc. There's so much other things going on. This film's a bit all over the place and a bit wild. If we're doing a deep dive in the plot, we'd be here for about an hour, going through all the characters' stories, you know. But that's kind of it in a nutshell. Don't really like this film. I don't really like T.J. Miller. I quite like Jason Bateman. I like Jennifer Aniston. I haven't watched enough things with Kate McKinnon in it. I know she's in the Ghostbusters film by the all-female cast. Apart from that, I mean, Randall Park shows up, Rob Corddry. Is that how you say his name? Rob Corddry? The bald
maybe
guy.
I honestly don't really know. I've not really heard of him that much, so I'm not too sure.
Apart from that, there's a lot of people that you might not recognise, or you might do. There's not really any massive standouts, really. But yeah, I mean, let's not dwindle on it too much longer. I don't really have much more to say on the film, other than don't watch it. It's pretty bad. If you're just looking for some form of, what would you call it, sort of crass, raunchy Christmas comedy, then fair enough. But there is probably better ones out there. I just don't know what to recommend currently. But hopefully there's some coming up on the podcast. Bad Santa's one that probably sticks out. Watch that instead of this 100 times over 100. If you're looking for a Christmas film that's got this kind of comedic, it's actually a black comedy and it kind of goes hard at black comedy. It's actually quite funny. So it's from what I can remember, but that will be popping up on a later episode of the podcast. So you'll get to hear what I have to say about that film then. But yeah, I don't really have any facts about this film. There's not really much available. It's a bit naff. You got much more to say in it, Kenzie?
Nope. The Uber driver. I hate the Uber driver. I don't think she was very unfunny. Her whole joke is she just keeps on calling everyone bitches. That wasn't funny. I could count a bunch of other jokes as well. It's just nothing really hits. There was a whole thing with the security guard, which does then what? She starts tasing people at the end. I'm trying to think of a joke that actually hit, and I can't even think of one. So the thing is, although we've been quite harsh on the song, it's not very good. It's definitely not awful. I think it's just kind of that.
Mate, it's got under 50% in both Tomato Meter and audience score on Tomatoes. Yeah, it's a 40% in both. If you're getting down there with your audience score, the film must be bad. I don't know what it is in IMDb. It's probably
What I would give it. We'll see. I'll think about that because it's coming up like very soon.
Yeah, on IMDb it's a 5.9. It's this slightly more forgiving, but you know. It always is. Rotten Tomatoes is a far sort of better source for those kind of things. Nah, I mean it's very 2D. I tried to maybe dress it up a bit more. I just wanted to say a little bit of fun fact that the movie was inspired by an SNL skit called Office Christmas Party.
Okay, that's why it's terrible then.
There's your fun fact of this movie. And also, this is the second movie in which Jennifer Aniston stars. Sorry, it's the second movie which Jennifer Aniston stars in with the word office in the title, the first one being Office Space, which is a far better movie than this, at least from memory anyway. But that is it for this. Let's move on to the ratings of this film. They aren't going to be very high, just as a warning. But Kenzie, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, this film's not great, but it's not like absolutely awful. It's just kind of. When I was watching it, I felt like I enjoyed it a slight little bit better, but honestly, not really. Now I think about it, it's Jason Bateman's performance and T.J. Miller and Jennifer Aniston. It's all fun to see, but it's the film's not funny. That really. I've definitely seen worse things, but none of the jokes really hit for me. It at least kept me entertained for the film. That's one thing I can say for it. There was no part where I was kind of like hurry up and finish. It was fine. I let it kind of finish out, but it wasn't like it wasn't really enjoyable. I for me, this film is just about. Is it? I feel like kind of giving it just a kind of average rating, but maybe. I'm gonna give it a two. It's not great.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I think I'm pretty much in line with that. My bugbear about it is the way they use Jennifer Aniston in this film. She's known for being the heartthrob. Was that the right thing? Was that a heart? No. She's known for being the sort of unattainable woman in romantic comedies, or the nice person, and they've kind of done her a disservice, I think, creating a character like this for Jennifer Aniston is a bit weird.
Maybe what?
In a different film. What's that?
I don't get that. Because she's not playing a character to what she... Well, I don't get that.
I just feel like she's better playing characters that are nice.
This is probably like horrible bosses.
But it's, yeah, that's a bit different, her character, you know. It's she's playing the sex symbol. I don't know.
I thought she was fine in the role. I think she was fine with the acting.
I just prefer to see Jennifer Aniston as happy and bubbly and stuff like that, you know. Maybe that's just from somebody that's watched Friends a couple of times and really, you know, I'm not saying typecast her, she can be different types of characters, but in something like a comedy, I just prefer her to be nice, you know, not the bad person or the one that's, you know, Horrible Bosses is a bit different, slightly much different film to this. That's just my opinion anyway. I feel as though she could have been maybe used a bit better. That's all I'm saying.
I feel like she didn't get a lot. I think she could have been given more in the film. I agree with that. But I'm fine with the character. I just don't think there was much to her. I think it's more.
You do realize that this is the point where I get to say what I like and dislike.
I know,
film. Did that cut in when you were speaking?
You've done it. We've done it at a certain point before. Not in this one. No, sure. But okay. Sorry.
Well, when you've got to the end and you're giving your opinions on and then giving it a rating, I try and leave my debate for the middle of the podcast where it's that's when you should bring it up.
Sorry, I can hear you.
Otherwise, we'd be here all night. Anyway, that's my opinion. Kenzie's got a different opinion. Also, I'm very shocked to see that this film grossed over $100 million. That baffles me. I know that $100 million doesn't seem a lot in this day and age of films, but it is still normally the sort of gold standard that if your film hits $100 million, it's done relatively quite well. For a film that was shot in probably two or three different locations, it had an alarmingly big budget of $45 million, which is baffling to me. But yeah, that's just what movies cost, I suppose. Anyway, I'm in the same. As a 2 out of 5, I don't really want to go on anymore. You know how I feel about it. It just didn't hit. The jokes didn't hit. It wasn't really funny. It's a bit boring, a bit naff, not very complex. It's very 2D. Characters aren't very well written. The acting's okay, though, why slight the actors, because you're only as good as the material that you get to work with most of the time, I would say. And yeah. So with that being said, I'm happy giving it a 2 out of 5 as well. So would you like to air any of your grievances here before I wrap up the podcast?
No.
Are you
I'm
sure?
I'm happy with that. I'm not happy with that now.
You sure?
I've said what I felt like I needed to say.
Right, cool. That's it for another episode of Cult Film Cafe Does Christmas. As always, it's been a pleasure. And if you'd like to if you'd like to listen to past episodes of the podcast, you can do so by searching for Cult Film Cafe on the streaming service that you use to listen to podcasts. We are on pretty much all of the major ones out there. In fact, we are on all the major ones out there. Don't know why I said pretty much. And if you'd like to go and give us a wee follow over on social media, that'd be great. Also, we are at Cult Film Cafe on both Instagram and Twitter. So yeah, that's it for another episode. So it's a goodbye from me.
And it is a goodbye from me.
Podcast out. Why did we speak for 40 minutes on this film?